Take TPV Radio with you 24/7. Just download Live 365 app from your Apple or Google Play Store. Like us on Facebook at TPV Radio or www.tpvradionetwork.com. Walk with us, family. Let's go!
You're listening to The Voice, the Summit Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk? Let's go!
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Josiah Khalid. Listen, you're listening to The Summit Voice Radio. Walk with me. Let's go!
You're listening to the hottest, most off-controversial, off-the-meters Christian radio station in the land. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk, family? Let's go!
Stellar Award considered, Spin Award nominated, radio station is back with an all-star just for you. Starting with the Psalmist Voice Reloaded on Sundays at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Then the Psalmist Voice presents by booking only. Tuesdays, it's The Grub at 1 p.m. Followed by Victory Over the Weights of Life with Sister Deanne Lebrine at 6 p.m. Thursdays, Real Talk with Pastor Byron Sego at 4:30, followed by Dorothy Patterson, the reality coach, at 6 p.m. Friday, Music of the Spirit with Trey Milner at 4:30 p.m. And Saturdays is our double hitter, and it starts with Saturdays for Beth with Sister Lorraine Brown, with Roberta Jones at 11 a.m. Central, followed by Brother Don Presents with Pastor Gene Homer at 4 p.m. Also download Live 365 and search the Psalmist Voice Radio Network, and you're in there. You can also follow us on Facebook at TPV Radio or visit our website, www.tpvradionetwork.com. Walk with us, family. Let's go.
You never heard Christian radio quite like this. Get your fix 24/7 on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. You're listening to TPV Virtual Radio. It's live right now on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. You're listening to Real Talk with Pastor Sago right now on TPV Radio.
Eat all the meat up, yo. Spit the bones out. Drink all the milk up. Start acting like you're grown now. Not just a hero, you a doer of the word, right? Now that you hear, hey, what you doing with the word, right?
Hey, poetic, bring the drums in. Let me preach a little. Just let me speak a little. Trying to get the streets delivered. Hey, marijuana ain't got nothing on my Jesus, bro. And if you want it, you can have
it's
some of
your
Jesus,
cousin,
bro.
Your
nothing
brother,
changed,
your
breaking
nephew,
chains like we were supposed to do.
Of real
keep the money,
talk,
keep the fame. I said no to you.
Byron,
you don't need a microphone, some of you need to. You don't need a microphone, some of you need to stop.
You get that boy your vacuum and soon when they...
What's happening? All my listeners, what's going on? Hey, I welcome y'all to Real Talk. This is Thursday, the 25th of February. And I welcome everybody that's rocking with me, that's strolling with us on this afternoon, this evening. First thing I want to say, I pray that everybody's doing well. through all this winter stuff that we had going on. So I know a lot of people without water, without electricity, a lot of people still dealing with a lot of stuff. So I pray that everybody's doing good, and this thing is gonna get better. We just gotta stay focused. So I pray that everybody's doing well, everybody's doing good, and everybody continues to push through as we're going through all this stuff that was hit here in Texas on the south, and all kinds of crazy stuff. So everybody knows what's going on with that. So I pray everybody's doing good. So hey, while I get in the show, I want to definitely send a big shout out to TPV Radio Network. Hey, they're doing it big. I salute them. You know, Live 365, they're streaming live. They are Stellar Award nominated. Stellar Award nominated. So big shout out to them. I know they're going to get it this year, the Stellar Award. Stellar Award nominated TPV Radio Network, the most controversial Christian radio network in the land. You ain't going to never dig with anybody like TPV Radio Network. So, look, big salute to them. Pastor Chris Newton, ladies and gentlemen, all the TPV Radio family. Hey, I shout y'all out. Hey, I want to shout out my wife, Lady LaTanya Sago, everybody that's rocking with us at Light of Hope Fellowship Ministries, everybody that's rolling with us at Blessings on the Block Community Outreach, Incorporated Radio for sure. So, hey, I salute everybody. I appreciate everybody for doing all that you do and strolling with us and all that we do. So now that I got all that out the way, so this is our second show of 2021, and we know we've been dealing with, we didn't come on last week because of all the weather and things like that. So this is our second show of 2021, and we're trying to continue to progress and talk about these things here on Real Talk that a lot of people don't even talk about. Talk about these things here on Real Talk that people think are taboo to talk about. And what I want you to understand is this subject we're going to talk about on tonight is a very, very important subject. It's a very, very important subject. And we may, depending on where we get to, we may have two parts to this. All right? We may have two parts. But this is a very, very important subject that, number one, I don't think is addressed in churches enough or at all. I'm just going to be real about it. They're not either not addressed enough or not at all. All right, but we're gonna talk about it here on Real Talk. We're gonna talk about it on TPV Radio Network, and then we gotta have two parts to this. We're gonna have two parts to this to talk about this very, very needed subject. So tonight, this afternoon, we're gonna talk about suicide and the body of Christ. Suicide and the body of Christ. I know it's a deep subject. Suicide and the body of Christ. And the question is, does it happen? Does suicide happen in the body of Christ? Who think that? And the answer to that is yes. Suicide does happen in the body of Christ. And what I'm going to do tonight to begin with, I'm going to begin talking about pastors and suicide. All right, pastors and suicide. So there is no, and
say I'm what?
some statistics. I'm gonna give you some numbers. I'm gonna talk about this thing deep. All right, so I want to make sure that I'm just not pulling the rabbit out of my hat. I'm giving you good information, statistical information about numbers of research that has been done about pastors and suicide. Now again, it's not just pastors, but we're talking about suicide in the body of Christ. Now, the pastor is the body, is a part of the body. Let's make sure we understand that. The pastor is not negated from being a part of the body, as being a portion of the body, as being important to the body. Just like everybody else is important to the body, the pastor is important to the body. All right? So I want to make sure you understand that we're going to start off talking about pastors and suicide, but then we're going to get into everybody else that's within the body that's dealing with this hurt and this pain and this depression within the body. All right, so there is no lack of statistics. Listen to me about pastors and depression. All right, burnout, health, low pay, spirituality, relationships and longevity. And none of them are good. Okay? Now, here's some statistics. I'm going to read this. According to the Schaefer Institute, 70% of pastors constantly fight depression. 70% of pastors constantly fight depression. And 71% are burned out. Meanwhile, 72% of pastors say they only study the Bible when they are preparing for sermons. 80% believe pastoral ministry has negatively affected their families, and 70% say they don't have close friends. Let me stop right there. 70% of pastors, 70% of pastors say they don't have close friends. And I'm going to let you know, from being a pastor, that is true. That is absolutely the truth. Pastors don't have what they like to call close friends. They have people that they can lean on, other pastors they can lean on. So we're talking about pastor to pastor. Pastor to pastor can lean on a pastor. All right. They should be able to lean on another pastor to talk about what's going on. But 70% of pastors say they don't have close friends. Why? Because don't nobody want to be bothered with pastors. Why? It's not that what they do or they feel that the pastor is going to always bombard them with scripture and with God and stuff like that. And that very well may be the case for some. Okay. But sometimes people don't want to deal with pastors because they don't want pastors to call them out for what they're doing if they're doing something wrong. Okay?
Bruh.
So look, the true fact of the matter, according to the Schaefer Institute, 70% of pastors say they don't have close friends. 70% of pastors say they don't have nobody true that they can lean on. 70% of pastors say that they don't have nobody they can call in the middle of the night when they're feeling some type of way. 70%. Now there's only another 30%, which is a very small amount. They feel that they have somebody they can call in the middle of the night, or they feel they have somebody they can lean on, a true close friend they can lean on, to talk about what may be going on in their mind. 30% of pastors say that they have that. And that's the problem. So because of that fact that pastors, 70% of pastors feel they don't have nobody they can lean on, pastors get depressed. Pastors get depressed because they feel they don't have anybody they can lean on. All right? Now, listen to this. The Schaefer Institute also reports that 80%, listen to me, this is a crazy number, 80% of seminary and Bible school graduates will leave the ministry within 5 years. 80%. Now look, these are not my numbers. I'm not making these numbers up, all right? The Schaefer Institute, I'm not making these numbers up. 80% of seminary and Bible students will leave the ministry within 5 years. Now, it's not clear of how many commit suicide, but it is clear that pastors are not immune to it. Pastors are not immune to it. And listen to me, this is what I'm going to say. And this is the go-to. This go-to has become so cliche that it's lost its power. Myself and Pastor Chris Newton, we always laugh about this, that everybody got a pocket full of cliches with no power. And this has become a cliche. We talk about, now I'm not saying that this, what I'm going to talk about is not true, because it is true. I'm talking about spiritual warfare. Now, I think this is very important to mention. Very, very important to mention. Too often, Christians jump to this as the first and only reason. As the first and only reason that a pastor might be dealing with this stuff. The first and only reason. People use this so much, it's become cliche and it's lost its power. Now, and we know Ephesians 6:12, it's used so much again, it's become cliche. That's the go-to for everybody. Oh, you're dealing with spiritual warfare. We're not dealing with flesh and blood. We got that. We understand that. A pastor understands that. Now, spiritual systems do not necessarily mean there is a spiritual cause for depression. Spiritual symptoms, hear me out, spiritual symptoms do not necessarily mean there is a spiritual cause for depression. Now, our spiritual warfare can certainly be can play a part in what appears to be only physical or cognitive. All right, it happens. I got that. Now, many other things can get a pastor down in ministry. Many other things, believe me, I understand. We're talking about a never-ending workload, congregational needs, criticism. Let me stick a stick pin in criticism real quick. A pastor's always criticized for either what they don't do or what they do do. I don't know if do is the correct terminology, all right? But a pastor is criticized for what they don't do and what they do. Now, let me make this clear. Now, there are pastors out there. Now, when we're talking about what pastors do and what pastors say, now there are some out there that just have a nastiness about themselves and treat people any type of way. Treat their people like their Lord and dirt. There are some out there that do that. Listen to me. There are some out there that do that. I'm talking about those ones that are doing the very best that they can to make good decisions for the people. Those ones that's doing everything they can to make the best decisions for the people. Those are the ones I'm talking about. I'm not talking about those ones that don't care about people, that say they're called, all right, but I don't know what phone they answer, all right? I'm talking about those ones that's trying everything they can. Pastors get depressed because they're criticized by everything that they do. And here's what I want to say about criticism. Yes, a pastor was called. A pastor should display and walk in a different manner. A pastor should do all they can to emulate Christ likeness, and everybody else should too. If they call themselves a Christian, everybody else should try to do their best to emulate Christ likeness. But what people fail to understand is that pastors get tired, pastors have bad days, pastors go through things, pastors deal with things, and pastors have bad days. Sometimes pastors have bad days to where they do things or they say things that they may not know that they're doing. Okay? But here's my question. Why is it okay for any people who are not pastors to have bad days, but pastors can't have bad days? If a pastor has bad days, the first thing people say, oh well, that's not pastor like for him to act that way, or that's not the way he should be acting. Now again, I'm not talking about those ones that are out there real bad. I'm talking about those ones that's trying, who have bad days. And thank you, Miss Angela Morgan. They're human too. Absolutely. Pastors have good days and pastors have bad days. Pastors gonna deal with that. All right? But criticism runs pastors into depression for what they don't do, or decisions that they make that they might think, or they are listening to the Spirit, which is what they should be doing. They are listening to the Spirit, and God and the Spirit of God has told them to do this, and they're being obedient to the Spirit, and people beat them down for being obedient to the Spirit because they're not connected to the Spirit that He's connected to. They're connected to some other spirit. And what we have to understand, God doesn't speak to all of us the same way. The way God communicates to me, he doesn't communicate to Angelo, or he doesn't communicate to Shanisha, or he doesn't communicate to Pastor Chris the same way. God communicates to us, each of us, in different ways, all through the same Spirit, but in different ways. So if a pastor's doing exactly what the Spirit of God has told him to do, then why is he being criticized for doing what the Spirit of God has told him to do? That criticism is what leads pastors into depression. That exact criticism. So criticism. Let me move forward. We're talking about church finances. All right? That's another thing that leads pastors to depression. Saying yes too much to avoid Sabbath rest. Sometimes a pastor doesn't unplug enough to get the proper rest that they need. Leads them into depression. And we're not talking about those pastors who are former soldiers that deal with PTSD. I can raise my hand. I'm not ashamed. We're not talking about those ones that are former soldiers and deal with PTSD. I deal with PTSD. We're not even including those. We're talking about those ones right now, the ones that are not soldiers. That are not soldiers. All right? Now, lots of pastors have no idea where to go for help if they find themselves struggling with suicidal thoughts. A pastor does not know where to go. Why? Because I'm going to tell you why. If a pastor goes to somebody and tells somebody that he or she is dealing with depression, the first thing that's going to happen is criticism. The pastor is going to be criticized, him or her, whichever proper usage that you got to say that, all right, is going to be criticized because they've reached out to help. So pastors don't know where to go. Pastors can go to other pastors, but if that other pastor you're going to is feeling the same type of way. So now you got two people that are dealing that are feeling the same type of way, that are trying to help each other. And that's difficult. That's difficult. Two of them dealing with the same problems, dealing with depression, dealing with criticism by people who has no idea what it feels like to walk in the shoes of a pastor day to day. Two people who are dealing with the same problem can't help each other. If you're addicted to crack, two people addicted to crack can't help each other. The only thing they can do for each other is share each other's crack. That's all they can do. So pastors have no idea where to go for help. Now, here's some more numbers I'm going to give you. Less than 30% of Christians with a family member affected by a major mental illness report their churches maintain a current list of mental health professionals to share with attendees in crisis. Less than 30% of churches have a Rolodex that they can refer people to. We're not just talking about the pastor. They can refer other people of the body that are dealing with mental health crisis. 30%. 30%. That's a staggering number, ladies and gentlemen. 30%. We're talking about the church. Less than 30% has an outlet that people can come to, because if the pastor's dealing with depression, just like I said, if the pastor's dealing with depression, then another person of the body comes and say they're dealing with depression, all right? The pastor doesn't know where to go to. How can the pastor point that person in the right direction? Because they don't know where to go. So this is important for the church to hear. This is important for the body of Christ to hear, especially leaders, to understand that something has to be developed to help these issues of depression that are going on inside the body, because they're happening. And the body of Christ is not immune to it, ladies and gentlemen, by not by any means. So now that 30% came from research from Lifeway Church. Again, this is all research numbers. I'm not pulling nothing out of my hat, ladies and gentlemen. Now pastors in need of mental health care are all too often unable to afford it. Okay? Unless you're a veteran, or you might be a part of a church that may have numerous members, and that's part of the medical plan or in the contract. It varies, but just the regular around the corner church, okay? The person that God has called can't afford to go to a mental health professional. A, because they're very expensive. I don't know how many of you know how much it costs to go to talk to someone in mental health, but we're talking about $60, $70 an hour. $60, $70 an hour. Okay? Now listen to me. A pastor may know where to go to find help and have the resources to pay for it, but they're worried about the stigma of seeking help. They're worried about the stigma that are going to come from the people that they stand in front of on Fridays or Saturdays or Sundays, whatever day. They're worried about the stigma of what people are going to say. And true enough, I got that. That's true. We're talking about the pastor of the church. We're talking about the under shepherd of the church that's responsible for people's souls. If a pastor got up and in front of the church and told his or her people that they're dealing with depression or they're dealing with suicidal thoughts, the first thing that's going to happen is when people are going to look at him or her crazy. Instead of trying to reach out to that pastor and somebody saying, "Look, pastor, come on down here, we gonna get you some help." Instead of people circling around that pastor and holding up that pastor's arms, not all, some are gonna look at each other and say, "Wow, that pastor crazy. He don't need to be up there no more, or she don't need to be up there no more." That ain't got nothing to do with that. Get that person the help that they need so they can be refreshed, so they can get back up there and they can preach the word of God like they ain't never preached before. If they got there one time and they was on fire, I'm talking about they was burning up the pulpit. I mean, they was giving messages. I'm talking about messages that people can apply to their lives, and the messages are true, and they are of God and they're of the word, and they start, and then all of a sudden all the messages dwindle down to the point to where people's like, "Wow, what are they talking about?" Sometimes it could be that could raise a white flag for somebody to say, "I wonder if pastor's okay." Because that's not how he usually rolls, or that's not how she normally rolls. I wonder if they're okay. You gotta address that problem. So check it, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna come right back with the second part of this. I told y'all this. I'm telling you, this is good. I'm in here. I'm sweating, ladies and gentlemen. So look, we gotta pay some bills. Radio station gotta pay some bills. We're gonna be right back with the second part of Real Talk. One love.
You're listening to Real Talk with Pastor Sago right now on TPV Radio.
I could play the background. I could play the background. Cause I know sometimes I get in the way. So won't you take the lead, lead, lead. So won't you take the lead, lead, lead. And I could play the background, the background.
If you could take the
it's evident.
against you run the show, so let me back down. You take the leading role, and I play the background. I know I miss my cues, know I forget my lines. I'm sticking to your script, and I'm reading all your signs. I don't need my name in lights, I don't need a star on the road. And why gain the whole wide world if I'm just gonna lose my soul? And my ways ain't purified, I'm live according to your word. I can't endure this life without your wisdom being heard. So word to every dancer for a pop star, cause we all play the background, but mine's a rock star. Yeah, so if you need me, I'll be stage right. Praying the whole world will start embracing stage fright. So let me fall back and stop giving my suggestions, cause when I follow my obsessions, I end up confessing that I'm not that impressive. Matter of fact, I'm who I are. A trail of stardust leading to the superstar. Yeah. Captain of my soul, I was master of my fate. Lost control and then I sank. So I don't wanna take the lead, cause I'm prone to make mistakes. All these folks who follow me gon' end up in the wrong place. So just let me shadow you, and just let me trace your lines. Matter of fact, just take my pen, here you create my rhymes. Cause if I do this by myself, I'm scared that I'll succeed, and no longer trust in you, cause I only trust in me. And see, that's how you end up headed to destruction, paving the road to nowhere. Pull your life out for nothing. You pull my card, I'm bluffing. You know what's in my hand. Me, I just roll and trust you. You call the dice to land. I'm in control of nothing. Follow you at any cost. And some call it sovereign will. All I know is you the boss. And man, I'm so at ease. I'm so content. I play the background like it's the instrument. When I'm in your will and trust your word. And I know I'm dangerous when I trust myself, my vision blurred. And I ain't got no time to play like foolish games. Got plenty aims, but do they really glorify your name? And it's a shame the way I wanna do these things for you. Yeah, don't even cling to you, take time to sit and glean from you. And it seems that you are patient in my ignorance. If ignorance is bliss, it's cause she never heard of this.
This is Pastor Bill Jenkins of Destinland Christian Center in Rancho Cucamonga, California, and you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Walk with me, family. Let's go!
You're listening to Real Talk with Pastor Sago, right now on TPV Radio.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, everybody? We're back. We're back with our second part of Real Talk on tonight. And again, we're talking about suicide within the body. We're talking about suicide within the body of Christ. Does it happen? Is it real? Yes, it happens, and yes, it's real. I got Pastor Chris Newman want to say something real quick, but I want to touch on some real quick information before I let him say something, because this is a good subject. And if there's any other pastors on, I think I saw Pastor Van Arsdale. If you on, sir, I can drop the number and you can call in. And you can have, if Pastor Chris can drop that number on there, when they call in Pastor Van Arsdale, you can come in and you can have your part. Or if anybody else, Shanisha Young, Angela Young, hey, call in. Let's talk about this. So before Pastor Chris comes on, here's one thing I want to say. I want to talk about before I went for break, I talked about that pastors. They may know where to go for help, but they're worried about that criticism. Now we all know that within the body of Christ, you got everything that you need. Everything that you need that works from God. If you want a mechanic, you got it. You got it in the body. If you just ask, if you got to know somebody that know how to work on refrigerators, hey, if somebody in there that know how to work on refrigerators, all right. We need to understand that. And just like any other body of Christ, we know there's somebody in there that has training, that has types of training that can deal with this stuff. Now, the problem is that even if there is somebody within that body that's trained, that's a medical professional that deals with mental health, 9 times out of 10, the pastor's not going to go to that person, even though they know that they have one right there in their midst. They're not going to go to that person because of criticism, because of stigma. Why? Because if a person sees, well, there's one or two things that's going to happen. Well, there are two things that's going to happen, all right? If the pastor is a male and that person that is that professional is a female, there's going to be some rumors, especially if they're talking a lot, they're seeing a lot, or that person is seen in the pastor's office a lot, especially again if it's a male or female, a male and a female. The thing that's going to happen is that people are going to start rumors and saying that the pastor and that woman are doing something. Okay? And then the pastor is afraid of that stigma, especially people who know that that's a medical professional that deals with mental health. And vice versa. If the pastor is a female and then the medical professional is a male, same thing. People are going to start rumors. People are going to start criticizing. People are going to start pointing fingers. People are going to start wondering, well, why he always talking to her? Why is she always talking to him? What's going on with that? And why is this and why is that? And the pastor doesn't want to deal with that. Those are the type of things that run pastors in the ground and cause pastors to be depressed. Those exact type things right there. All the criticism, all the stigma. A pastor can't do nothing without somebody assuming that they're doing something wrong. Everything that a pastor does is under a microscope. Everything. And it's that criticism, it's that stigma, it's that finger pointing, it's all those types of things that causes pastors depression. And again, people don't know what it feels like to be a pastor unless they walked in the shoes of a pastor for one day. Walk in the shoes of a pastor for one day. Walk in the shoes of a pastor when it comes to having to prepare for a sermon and also continue to keep their relationship with God right and feeding the people and looking out for the people's salvation and continue to work as best they can in the community and continue to try to do the best they can within that family to be a good husband, if they have children, to be a father, all these things can run a pastor in the ground and cause a pastor depression. It could ultimately cause a pastor to take his or her own life. So, Pastor Chris, you on. Go ahead, bro.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, man, because this is a very heavy topic. See, I wanted to put some light into it because we both share the same kind of things. You're more mobile with your ministry, but I'm doing the other side, the radio side, all that. But it's still
right,
ministry.
Right.
See, what right people don't understand, people want the title, but they don't want the work. Uh-oh, we're going to get in trouble with that statement. But see, you're right, because in the system or community that we are involved in, there's a lot of cliques. Now, if you don't go according to what the clique requirement is, you're left out. And I'm sorry to say it, but there's some truth to this. Because we have a lot of great men and women out here that are left solo dolo, and we have people that have established communities in here, in our own communities, as ministers that can be mentors and mentees to young ministers like myself, Pastor Sego, and others. I'm sorry to say it, but this is another cause of why we get into this thing called depression, suicide, all this stuff. You talk about economical wealth and all this stuff. That's great. But your mental health is more important. The devil's going to attack your mind. He's going to attack that. And once he gets your mind, then he's going to have all this stuff coming at you. And especially if you are a former veteran and you're coming home, you're transitioning already to become a civilian. That's one. Two, you're transitioning to get your mind fixed as a civilian. Three, if you had any issues with war, things like that, you got to deal with that on top of that. Now you're a pastor. See, you got to have friends that are for real. Like friends that, look, I don't want you call, and I talk, I'll put myself out there a little bit. When I call Pastor Say Go, it ain't Pastor Say Go. I say, Byron, what's good? Because sometimes your mental has to be put on the shelf for a minute. We got to be able to talk like brothers. How do you feel as a brother right now? Okay, we understand the pressures of pastorate. We get it. Because you're not only dealing with your own family, you're dealing with other families. And if you have outreach, you're dealing with other families on top of that. You're trying to juggle your time with your personal family, your wife, especially. Thank God for first ladies, because they deal with a lot of patience with pastors. I'm just saying. I'm going to put it out there. Yep. But at the same time, we have to have a community that is together. Now, I'm not saying that TPV Radio is all that in a bag of chips. But what I can say, I make time for our ministers. If they need me, they can text me, call me. If I don't get back to them right then and there, I still get back to them in that same day. I don't say leave an appointment and all this craziness. And me and Pastor Sego laugh about this all the time. But the fact of the matter is, we will never get strong in the faith. We will never be strong as a community of pastors. We have too many of us that are sitting out there by ourselves. We have no mentors to instruct us or keep us grounded, keep us mentally sane, a little out for a lack of a better word. And then we get tired because our passion is to do what we got to do. We got to deal with our own constituents. That's stressful in itself. We getting shade from our own constituents because you mad because I'm younger or I'm doing something that you're not doing. It's all this stuff that we're doing as a community of pastors. And see, that's a whole nother show. That'll be another hour if we talk about that. But what I'm saying is we need to keep each other prayed up. That's the cliche. But again, we got to be able to be real with each other. I get on my brothers on TPV all the time because a lot of us, most of us are very independent. We're very strong-minded men. And when we're going through something, we ain't going to call on each other. That's just how it is. But at the same time, when we get to that point, we got to know when to, hey, text. You ain't got to call me. Just text me. Hey, bro, pray for me. Or, bro, call me tomorrow. You know, I just need to talk. Something like that. See, you need to know that you have somebody that you can call on, that you could be real with. Because we always got to be in patriot mode. All the time. We got to be pastor all the time. I don't want to be pastor all the time, especially if I'm dealing with stuff. I want to be able to call Pastor Say Go and say, hey, Byron, what's good? Well, no, don't call me Byron. Call me Bishop. Call me Apostle. Are you kidding me? Weren't you Joe before all that? Yes, but now I'm a man of God. See, we get so super deep. And I'm sorry to put it out there, and I'm sorry to take a lot of time, but I think somebody needs to hear this, because we get so caught up on our titles, and we want to be the reigning champion. We want to be the reigning, defending, best church in the whole wide world, be the best money collector in the whole wide world, but we got pastors out here starving. We got pastors out here dealing with mental issues, especially, and I'm going to call you out too, especially men and women that have served for this great country that are pastors. Y'all need to come together too. I'm sorry. Because there's some things as a civilian pastor I'm not going to understand as being a veteran. I'm just going to keep it real. So I don't understand all this segregation between the community of pastors. I don't understand why you got to be in this club. You got to have a certain amount of money, a certain amount of click and cliches, all this stuff, just to get a phone call from your so-called overseer or your so-called head. Yes, we understand Jesus is our rock. I get it, but we are still human beings. As Pastor said early in the show, we need another human being that we could be real with. That's just going to keep us sane right there. I'm just going to be real with it. Because if it wasn't for Pastor Sego, if it wasn't for Brother Don, if it wasn't for my apostle now, if it wasn't for them and I could be Chris, I don't have to be pastor and I have to always reciting verses and all this stuff. Look, man, I'm tired. I'm beat up. I need you to give me some advice. What can I do, bro? How did you handle it, man? And a lot of these brothers have been doing ministry way longer than me. And I look up to these brothers. But at the same time, they need me too. And I got to be available, regardless if I understand or not. As long as me and Pastor Sego ain't far away. If he need me, I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to go to Hawker Heights. We ain't that far away.
True.
But that's how we have to have our hearts with each other, man. That's all I'm saying. I don't mean to take up all your time, but I just wanted to make that. I just wanted to drop that bomb real quick. And, of course, you know, we got more time if you need it. But back to you, Pastor. Let me be quiet because I'll end up going for another 30 minutes. Back to you.
Appreciate it. But, yeah, he's absolutely right. And again, what I wanted to make sure we understand, ladies and gentlemen, is that this suicidal and this suicide and depression thing is not focused on pastors. We're talking about the whole entire body. And just like Pastor Chris said, there are times. Look, the Central Texas area that we're in right here, okay. If you are not a part of this certain area of pastors, or if you haven't been in the game, I believe in trap theology. Look, if you haven't been in the game for longer than less than 2 years, then you can't be invited in. So now that new pastor has no outlet. That new pastor has no one to talk to when these things are coming up on their in their brains. And I'm talking about this is male and female pastors. Yes, male and female pastors. Yes, male and female pastors. All right, it's a problem. So the pastor can't. Him or her, they can't give an outlet to the people if they don't have an outlet for themselves.
Correct.
A pastor can't help the people if the pastor can't help themselves. Like the analogy I talked about earlier, if you have two drug addicts, all right, and they're sitting there together, two drug addicts can't help each other. It can't happen. And people, and listen to me, people of God, as we walk through this life, we have to have outlets. We have to have outlets. Being able to have an outlet, something that you can look. Now listen, when I say this, when I say we have to unplug and plug in, I'm not talking about disconnecting our relationship with God. I'm not talking about unplugging from God, because if you're a Christian, you should never do that. If you are a true follower of Christ, you can't do that. You can't do that. So when I say being able to unplug and plug in, sometimes we have to be able to unplug from things and plug into another outlet that allows you to relax and to get those things off your mind. I can give you everybody a quick example. I can say for myself. All right, I'm a lowrider. Okay, people don't know what a lowrider is, but if you know anything about older cars, antique cars, that we're talking about antique cars with hydraulics and switches and bouncing, that's what I do. I have one. So for me, my outlet is being able to get in my lowrider, drive around, and tip on the highway, or tip through down Stan's Luter, or tip down Fort Hood Street. That's my outlet.
Uh oh. Let's say go. You gonna go in time out. You know how constituents are. You can't be dropping it low in a low rider, blasting Lecrae or God over money, because they're going to think you're unholy. See, that's another example, man. These cliches and these so-called underlying rules that a pastor cannot do. But anyway, I just want to throw that in there, because that's another one, too, that's stressful. But anyway, go ahead.
You good. And absolutely. And I was just about to mention that. See, you can't be a pastor and tipping a low ride. You can't do that, because that's not pastor life. You shouldn't do that. Oh no, you can't do that. I can't believe that's a pastor and he's riding around in a 78 Buick Regal with hydraulics, and he's hitting switches, and he's listening to God Over Money or Brian T or some of those hip hop artists. That's an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
That's an outlet for me. Exercising, I get out and I go walking. When I go walking, that allows me to spend time with God while I'm walking. And a lot of times when I'm walking, if I'm listening to something, God will drop something in my spirit. And then while I'm walking, I put something in my notes. And there you go. While I'm walking, I'm developing a message while I'm walking. And sometimes if I'm in my car and I'm tipping down Stan Street, or I'm tipping down Fort Hood Street, and I see something I see something, then there goes something that God has dropped in my spirit for a message to give to the people, something that the people can apply to their lives, so they can say, oh wow, man, I get that. Oh wow! I heard about that. I'm feeling that. I'm working on one right now that's going to be entitled Jesus Gangster. What other man can do the things that Jesus did and stood up the way Jesus said, and don't think that Jesus didn't have any gangster about him. He was gangster without truly being a gangster. Come on now, I'm gonna leave that alone. But we're talking about this depression. Now listen to me. Now, like doctors, and I'm reading some more information. Like doctors, pastors often feel trapped in their careers. Now, let me talk about this last word, careers. Okay, what we have to understand is that when you're truly called, we can't look as our calling is not our job. Now, I talked about this in an earlier last year when I talked about pastors getting salaries. You know, what happens if that salary is cut? Do you look at it as being a job, or is it being a calling? So when you look at when you're a pastor, you can't look at what God has called you to do as a career. It's a calling. All right, my career was 24 years in the army. That was my career. My calling is much higher than my career. Okay? So, sometimes as a pastor, sometimes you might feel trapped in what you're doing. Now, lots of parallels exist between medical professionals, and we're talking about the notable for a high rate of suicide, pastors and medical professionals. All right? Now, both pastors and doctors are vulnerable to burnout, deal with constant criticism, and we're talking about anonymous emails and anonymous letters. Pastors deal with all that stuff and struggle to maintain excellence during the time of diminished resources, and both lack the ability to leave their jobs when depleted or burned without catastrophic consequences to their standard of living. Look at what we're dealing with right now. Look at what we're dealing with right now. We're dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, all right? And I don't talk much about that because people hear about it enough on the news already, all right? But look at where it's going, okay? All those pastors that before the pandemic had a 5,000 member church every Sunday. We all know first Sunday had 10,000 members because everybody thinks that first Sunday is the most important Sunday, which every day is God's day. Every day is important when you walk with God. But we're talking about those pastors that have 5,000, 10,000 members. Now, all of a sudden, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, that 5,000, that 10,000 is going down to 1,000. Somebody need to check on that pastor. Somebody need to check on him or her to see if they're okay. Because now they're dealing with loss of membership, loss of finances. What are we going to do? How are we going to make this thing continue to flow like we used to? How are we continue to make this thing function like we used to? Okay? And somebody needs to check on. The bottom line up front is this. A lot of times pastors have nowhere to go. And if the pastor has nowhere to go, the pastor can't help his people. And the people, there are people that are sitting in those chairs, that are people that are sitting in those pews, that are people that are sitting, that are singing with the microphone in their hand, depending on what type of church you're at, that's playing the drum, that's playing the piano, wherever that might be. There's members of that congregation that are dealing with depression. There are other members dealing with depression, to include the pastor. So if the pastor doesn't know where to go to help, if somebody comes to the pastor and says, "Pastor, I'm feeling some type of way. I need some help." The pastor can't tell them where to go because the pastor doesn't know. Because the pastor has no way. And churches aren't talking about this suicide thing enough. Not just for the pastor, but for the rest of the people, for the rest of the body. It's a problem. And there's not enough being addressed. There's nothing that allows this thing to be talked about in an open mass forum to say, hey, it's okay. If you're dealing with something, it's okay. And stop throwing that cliche on everybody that's saying it's spiritual warfare. Everything is not spiritual warfare, ladies and gentlemen. We have to make that, we have to get that understood. Now, does those things play a part? Yes, spiritual warfare does play a part, okay? I'm not negating that fact. But everything, the first thing, if a pastor says that they're dealing with depression, or if a pastor says that they feel like that they want to harm themselves, the first thing people want to say is, oh, well, he's spiritual warfare, Ephesians 9:12, we don't wrestle with flesh, but stop it. Stop that. Do that later on. Get that pastor some help. Get him or her some help. Talk about that later on. Because that's not going to change. Ephesians 6:12 is not going to change. Ephesians 6:12 is written in the canon and is not going to change. All right? We got that. If that pastor says they need help, or that person in that body says they need help, they're feeling some type of way, they're feeling suicidal, go get them some help. And talk about Ephesians 6:12 later on. We do that first and then negate the fact that they truly need help because they're dealing with somebody. I mean, because they're dealing with something. Send them to somebody and talk about Ephesians 6 and 12 later on. Get them some help. The pastor, him or her, get them some help. The person that's sitting out there in the pew, get them some help. And church has got to be open to talk about this thing, to understand that suicide is real within the body. It happens within the body. It's important that we address it in the body. We want to make our people better Christians, to be more Christ-like. We have to make them understand that when you feel in some type of way, it's okay to go and talk to somebody. It's okay. But we don't talk about it enough. We always place a stigma on it. We always criticize, especially when a pastor feeling some type of way. They don't have an outlet. They don't know where they can go. And then when a pastor does have an outlet, then they're criticized. If a pastor has an outlet of playing golf and they're feeling some type of way and they want to go play golf. Well, I tried to see the pastor, but he was out there playing golf. I don't know what type of pastor he is. He's not in his office. Well, he has an outlet. He was going to play golf. If a male pastor likes to go get his feet done, That may be his outlet. Female pastor like go getting their hair done. That's their outlet. Let them go have their outlet and stop criticizing them for their outlet. Because of those criticisms is what's running pastors in the ground and causing pastors to commit suicide. It's what causing pastors to be depressed because there's so much criticism, and we forget that pastors deal with stuff just like everybody else. Pastors aren't immune to having bad days. Pastors aren't immune from dealing with stuff. Pastors aren't immune from dealing with anger. Pastors aren't immune from dealing with frustration. They aren't immune. Why? Because they're all human. Just like anybody else is sitting outside from the audience looking up. But people are so quick to criticize and tell a pastor, that's not what you should be doing, pastor. You should be doing this, and that's not how a pastor acts. You can act that way, but it's not good for the pastor to act that way. You can have a bad day. It's okay for you to have a bad day. It's cool for you to have a bad day. It's copacetic for you to have a bad day. But if a pastor has a bad day, oh, that's not pastor-like, and you shouldn't be saying that. That's not what a pastor does. But you can do it. And you're supposed to be a Christian as well. It's cool for you to do it, but it's not okay for the pastor to do it. Those are the type of things that's running pastors in the ground, ladies and gentlemen. And again, I'm going to have a second part of this. This is going to be a second part of this. I'm going to talk about the people within the body. Tonight, I wanted to focus on the pastors. I'm going to talk about the people that's dealing with depression in the body and how they're not being helped within the body. I'm talking about the people. So, hey, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for tonight. This was powerful. I appreciate everybody that was riding with me. I see Mom on, Pastor Chris. Hey, I appreciate you, bro, always. Angela Morgan. Hey, let me say something about Angela Morgan really quick. Hey, look, she has her outreach has a drive that's going on, okay? She's collecting toiletries for her organization. We're talking about hygiene products, toothpaste, toothbrushes, soaps and things like that for her outreach. So go on her Facebook page, Angela's Outreach for Women. I think I might have said it wrong. Help me out. If I said it wrong, Angela, give me one of the hands up there. You're going to smack me in the face. But get with her right here. All right, that's her name. Look her up on Facebook. She's having a drive, so hey, help her out. Send her some stuff. If you want to contribute something to her her outreach, contribute something to her outreach as well. Also, C4 in the house. You see there, Shanisha Hicks, and she's on here. Holler at them too. They're doing a lot of great things. Support them. Support TPV Radio Network and all that TPV is doing. So again, hey, this is your brother, your cousin, your nephew. This is Pastor Byron Sago Real Talk. I appreciate you, and I'll see you next week. On love. I never
graduated from the hood, made it to the corporate world. Gotta say at times the hood seems a lot better. You got holy people sinning just to get cheddar. What happened to if you knew better, then you do better? I'm not innocent, drifted to the due weathers. Storms came, restyled with a few letters. Didn't understand that storms made a better man. And my reward for being obedient is better than anything that I can buy or inherit. The word is more valuable than platinum or carrots. Drop tops, Pirellis, mansions on the big lawn. You got me singing hallelujah like I'm Big Sean. No more Elliot, it hurts like arthritis. Will be what you designed me to be, and that's Titus.
TPV Radio, Central Texas.